That's an attention getter, isn't it? Yeah. Boy, it sure is good to be back tonight, and it's good to see everybody. And I missed being here Sunday. I missed seeing everyone, and we gathered around at Brandy's mom's, and we listened to the service, and I think Brother Isaiah did a really good job, and that's a good topic, talking about investment. There's a lot in that, and investing into people and helping people, our young people, and those in our church, those round about us. And you think about what I was thinking about is people who have invested in me throughout my life, and that's a blessing to see. But I missed it. I thank God for that. I was thinking there Sunday, you know, sometimes it's easy to get tired. You know, you get tired and want a vacation or whatever. But when I saw Brother Isaiah coming up here, I'm gonna be honest, I missed it. I'm like, I want to be up there. I kind of missed it. You know, I thank God for that. I really do. It's good to have a time of rest and what have you, but I enjoyed the message and just so much to be in prayer about. I want to go ahead and make mention of something here because, you know, we all know that life can change in a moment's notice and we get caught up in busyness of things and you just kind of go day by day and things take place and happen. And so we came back on, was it Tuesday? It was Monday. We came back Monday, New Year's Day. We came back Monday and really had just gotten home and settled in. And Brandy got a phone call from her sister-in-law, which isn't too common. And so I could automatically tell that there's some seriousness going on. And we just found out that Brandy's mom had been in a car wreck. Pretty serious car wreck, and thankfully she's okay. I think a fractured collarbone, very sore, but the other person, the other driver, had fallen asleep and come over into her lane and hit her head on. And today could have been very different. We were talking about that even Monday night, and just getting back, and you know, your mind's on traveling, on the holidays, on different things, but in just that split second, you know, you just didn't know exactly what was going on. But I do want to request prayer for her. Just a lot of things going on as she's trying to get through everything, a new vehicle and just all that kind of stuff, all the odds and ends. But it's something to think about on the way of starting a new year. But you know, God he's good to us. He looks after us. He takes care of us. And thinking about all through the blood, if you get to heaven, it's because of Jesus's blood. You know, that being prepared is a very serious thing. At the end of the day, where you sit, where I stand, either I'm ready or I'm not. I'm prepared or I'm not. It's something to really take serious. And I use that kind of as an introduction. We're back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. Faith, probably, I guess we're at part 14 on this, and this is about the Passover. I find this very, very interesting. Different events that we see in the Bible, I just find it interesting because that was a life that people lived. That's events that they faced, events they went through, events that we have in our life. I was looking at this and thinking about Moses and how they were going to go through. They had a choice to either by faith, through faith. You see that so many times mentioned in this chapter. But you see it many times that it's mentioned, and people had the choice. They had the choice to believe or not. God could have done things any way he wanted to, but he chose to do the Passover the way that he did. And I see that. He always points to a consistent person, a consistent way. It's always been through the blood. The foreshadowing that we see here, I appreciate the song saying tonight, the foreshadowing that we see here, you know, God is not trying to confuse anybody. He's trying to keep it just simple and plain. Our minds, we get things on our mind and we see things a certain way or want things a certain way and we try to make things a certain way, but at the end of the day, it's only God's way and he tries to make it as clear as he can to you and I, but we have a way to choose it. I see this a lot thinking about this verse number 28. It says through, many times you see in this chapter, it says by faith. This time I thought it was interesting, maybe just the change up of words by Paul, but it says, through faith, he, being Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So we're going to see here tonight that God gave him an order, an instruction on how to do something, and it was through faith. And I looked up the word through, and that means transmission, by transmission, or noting the means of conveyance. It's a passage. It was through faith that the Israelites were able to survive this night, and we'll go through this account. It was by faith they were did it. It was through faith. If they had tried to do it any other way, if they had said, you know, I'm not going to place the blood on the mantle, I'm going to do it this way, their firstborn son, their firstborn child would have died. It's that simple. When God says something, he means it. When he lays it out that way, that's just how it's going to be. And we see how salvation is, it is so simple, but people fight it so hard, Brother Bill, every day. You know, I think there's been a war against conviction, a war against people actually feeling something, feeling regret or feeling remorse. And I tell you, unless you have that sorrow, that sorrowful repentance, you'll never get saved. A person would never get saved until they have that sorrowful repentance, sorrowful for trying to do things their way or any other way but God's way. Just like the song again has been saying, it's all through the blood. We see in Exodus chapter 11, if you want to turn over to Exodus chapter number 12, I'm just going to touch on chapter 11, and I'll try not to be too lengthy because there's a lot that could be covered here. But you know, something that the Lord had laid on my heart the past couple of weeks is just keeping it simple. There's no point in trying to go deeper than a person can go or anything like that. You think about our young ones that need to understand and grasp what this means. You think about people that maybe haven't heard this, people that visit with us, and people hadn't heard the gospel many times and what have you, really trying to understand it. Well, it's important to understand these foreshadowings and what we see here. I hope that you've started your annual reading of the Bible. I started mine over again. I finished out a couple of days early in Revelation, and it's time to start again, and ticked right back over. But you know, it's a blessing to go through it over and over, because the Lord will show you something new every single time, Brother Tim. He will. And it just shows you the depth and the breadth of what the Bible really is. But here in chapter number 11, we see this last plague, or the plague, the 10th plague of death here that was being placed upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Some of the plagues were only to the Egyptians, and then some of the plagues were to both. If you go back and remember when we went through that a few weeks ago, won't recount that tonight. But we see here that this is the Passover that's being initiated. You see, this last plague was that the firstborn of the land in Egypt shall die. God was sending his final message. You remember how with each plague there was a little bit of remorse, but then after the plague subsided, you see how Pharaoh kind of, you know, his fury rekindled against the people, against the Israelites, and how that continued to go. He would talk like he was going to let them go, and then he would not. It would just kind of pass. But then the Lord was allowing this to build up. He knew how Pharaoh's heart would be hardened. That's a very sorrowful thing to see. If you've ever tried to help somebody or witness to somebody who just seemingly will not accept Christ, you can kind of see that hardening sometimes. And it hurts. It's hard. You just want to see him. Had a talk with a lady today, and a really good talk about church, and it's not about trying to control people or what have you, but it's you care enough about people that you tell them the truth that's outlined in God's Word, and you just hope that they accept it. It's up to the person. You can't make them. It's not convert or die. Islam will tell you that, and that's not how it works. It's the goodness of God that allows us to see that, and you just want people to see it and grasp it and understand it and just kind of think about it. You see, this final thing that was going on here with Pharaoh, this was the final thing before you get to the Red Sea and everything that took place there. You see the flesh and how far it will go to get what it wants. But you see that the Passover is being instituted here. The Lord commands here. We'll go ahead and just start looking at verse number 1 through 4 in Exodus. Chapter number 11 just talks about what is going to be set place and how hardened Pharaoh's heart will be hardened. I'll read the end of that. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt." See, God had a plan. He's getting everybody's attention. Everybody in Egypt, that by his wonders, he's got their attention. He's capturing their attention. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. You see here in verses 1 through 4, chapter 12, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you, speaking to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month shall be, take them to every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And you kind of see here, each house was supposed to have a lamb. They were supposed to have their sacrifice. You see how that is laid out? And every time we watch movies or documentaries on the Bible and what have you, and how it was under the law, when they bring these precious little lambs, they'd bring those to be slaughtered. They'd bring those to be sacrificed. And always look at Brandy, and I, you know, she kind of tears well up in her eyes. If you're animal lovers, you know, it's kind of sad to think about things like that. But that's how it was. That's how it was. And not only that they had to die, but they had to die for a covering, a temporal covering for our sin. Now you think, you caused that. That's your fault. It's your sin. That's the typology that was being shown here under the law. And it's saying here that everyone had to have one per household. But if the household was too small, then you would gather with your neighbor and you'd have enough. See, part of this was that the lamb was not supposed to be, nothing was supposed to be left over the next day. All was supposed to be consumed, and we'll see that here. We'll see how it comes together. Now, I like what it says here in verse number 5. You see in verse 3 and 4, it says, a lamb, a lamb. Verse number 5, it changes it up a little bit, and it says, your lamb. Now, that's personal. That's personal when you talk about it that way. You talk about Jesus Christ. He is your lamb. That's the only one. We're not under the law. We're under grace. And it has to be perfect. Now, I saw a show and the other night, and this guy, he was kind of made fun of. It was tried to be biblical, let's put it that way. It was based somewhat loosely off the Bible, and this fella, he brought a lamb to be sacrificed, his lamb, but the lamb had a blemish on it. And the man was ran away because his sacrifice had a blemish on it. That's just how it was. It had to be perfect. If it wasn't perfect, it was not going to work. Why would you take something not perfect for your sacrifice? You're kind of seemingly setting yourself up for failure. That's not good. You see here in verse number 5, your lamb. Very, very personal. You had to take the time and you had to look this lamb over yourself. I think about my life. It's a very personal thing. You know, if you ever feel like things aren't going right, there's nothing wrong with stopping and saying, Lord, what's wrong? What's wrong in my life? What's in there that needs to be out? Where's the blemish? We can't play church and fake church and try to go on with blemishes and everything. God knows they're there. And it's just not going to work out right for myself, work out right for you. We have to get those things out of the way. And we see how this is outlined here. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Boy, that'd be a sad day to me. I think maybe they might have gotten somewhat used to this in the lifestyle that they had. But you imagine that is your lifestyle. That's what you have to do. I think it would be a very solemn time, a very sacred time. I think it'd be a time that people were probably kind of quiet, thinking about it, thinking about their self, a lot of self-examination, but you could hear the bleeding of the lambs. You could hear those being taken. I think that would really should cause people to think about how they're living and what their life is like. And it says to kill it in the evening, all that going on at the same time. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head and his legs, with the pertinence thereof, everything on the inside. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning shall be burned with fire. Everything had to be consumed. Everything. You can look at it a lot of different ways, and I know I don't personally understand a lot of Jewish tradition and heritage. I hope Brother Dan, when he's coming, Lord willing, if the weather will work out, I'm really, really looking forward to him being with us, and talked with him a little bit today, and looking forward to learning more about that culture. You can study in the Bible, but it's good to talk to people firsthand about what it's talking about, what it means also. But you see how here everything was to be consumed with fire, and then how the blood was to be applied. That was a symbol. That was what is going to show the difference. I'll stop right there for just a minute because, you know, we try to make things fit in a certain way that makes sense to us, but I think maybe to some people that probably just didn't make sense. Why do we have to do that? Why do we have to do it that way? Why can't we do it another way that makes more sense to us? Why can't I just do this? Or why can't I do that? That's what I hear a lot today. People try to rationalize things in their mind. People think about how wicked people can be. And that kind of people get in their mind. Again, talked with someone today, and they're talking about, I just don't know how to feel about eternal salvation. I think somebody could be mean enough, wicked enough that they could lose it. I said to the Bible says contrary to that. Bible says if you've got it, you've got it eternally. Now, I said, it's like this. I said, you think about your parents. I said, your parents will always be your parents. Biologically, you cannot change that. Your parents will always be your parents. But now, are your parents always happy with you? And she kind of stopped for a minute. She grinned. She said, yeah, I guess you're right. I said, yeah. Once he's your father, he's your father. That's a done deal. Now, he'll chastise us if we get out of line, but that's a sign that we're his. There's even a blessing in that. He loves us enough to try to correct us and to show us how we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to do. You see, the importance of following this here, this is exactly how the Lord prescribed it to be. He's talking about making the sacrifice, and he's talking about painting this blood over this doorway. You remember I used that word through? So that blood was painted on a door. That's what you would go through. It's through. When I think back also some more typology about the ark, that came to mind also how the Lord built this ark or had Noah build this ark and how it was going to be able to lift them up. You know, I was kind of, it's funny sometimes how you, I had a dream, and I'm not talking about dreams and meaning anything, but my logic, I was thinking about this. We were out and about and the ocean was rising, and I had a boat, and I was like, I need to get in that boat because the water's rising. I'm like, no, if I get in the boat, I'll be carried out to sea, and I don't want to do that. I'll just stay back here. And I woke up, and I thought, man, that's a crazy dream. But you think about what the people, what they did when they never knew what rain was going to be, what that was going to look like, or anything like that. The safest place they could have been is in that boat, in the ark. That's what was going to seal them in, lift them up above the water, and carry them through. You see, that's the typology that we see consistently through the Bible, through the door. You had to pass through the door there with the blood. The blood had to be applied when the death angel came by. And he'd look over and he'd see that. He'd see the blood has been applied. That's simple, is it not? Very simple, Brother Dale. There's nothing hard about that. It's saying that the Lord is saying, okay, when you go through the land of Egypt, anything that has the blood applied to it, pass over that, go by that and go to the door where the blood has not been applied and take the firstborn out of that house. Well, I tell you, you had to use faith to do that. They had by faith to do that. You say, well, preacher, you think about that. I don't know if I believe that, Moses. You better. Or you're going to lose your child. And you think about the Egyptians probably mocking. I think about the world today and how they mock at Christ. They mock him so much, it's gotten so much more worse. It just gets worse every day. It's just trying to make fun of God, and just everything's just a big joke. It's not going to be a joke. There's no joke to it. I think a lot about how we see things here. Again, it's not about reenacting things that happen in the Bible, but it's by faith learning from those things and using the faith God gives to us for the battles and the trials that we're going through. This is what God prescribed for this time and for this event. And we see here verses 11 through 14, it says, "And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded." Pay attention to this, because I had to read this a few times and try to understand what this was talking about. "With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste." This was to be done quickly. It wasn't like you sit down and do it slowly, like you sit down at a feast and do it very ceremoniously maybe, or very slowly and very methodical. There's a way that you had to do it. Everything had to be consumed. What was not eaten had to be burned. There could be nothing left. But I think it's very interesting to hear that it says to be done in haste. You had to do it very quickly. "For I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are in, where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout all generations," or your generations. "Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So this was an ordinance under the law that they had. But they were to eat it in haste. Once this took place, once this started, it started. You know, that's what I think sometimes people, I'm afraid, don't realize, that once things are set in motion, it's going. Ready or not, here it comes. I'll use this example here. How many of you are kind of surprised that Christmas is already over? Boy, that was fast, wasn't it? We saw it coming for months, did we not? I mean, we're trying to prepare, I guess, and you hit all the deals. I mean, day after Thanksgiving, everybody's up trying to, you know, get those deals. I mean, you know, we're going to be prepared for this. We're already into another year. We're looking back at Christmas now. And it kind of seems hard to believe. I mean, this time last week, I told Brandy, I said, this time last week, we were caroling. I said, that just seems like it's too fast. Like, where did that time go? Had a good time, by the way. I enjoyed doing that. Little Sarah, her car broke down. We didn't make it to Brother Dale's house. We missed being there with you, but we had a good time. It was a good time to get together and do that. I enjoyed the fellowship that we had. But I think people are so used to being able to looking back at the Bible, if they're not careful, they're not going to be looking forward to the Savior coming back. We think about Christmas, we think about Easter, we think about those things and what they mean to us. But this time when it's coming, he's saying, do this in haste. You know why? Because once this takes place and once this goes through, when the Egyptians wake up in the morning and they see what happened, they're going to want you gone. You're going to have to be ready. You're going to have to be ready to go. You need your clothes on. You need everything packed and ready to go. This, what, 430 some years that you've been locked into Egypt? They're ready to let you go. Ready or not, here I come. So you see how they're getting prepared for that. You see, I think about it this way in this day and time, trying to get people prepared, their minds on everything else but the Lord's return. I've heard that. We've heard that so long. And yeah, that's a thought. And boy, that's something else. Well, one day we will be looking back at his return. Think about that. Those of us that are saved, have accepted Christ, we will be with him looking back at that time after the tears are wiped away. But then you think about being lost and looking back at that day. That day would have been their last chance to accept the Lord. That'll be a last. It's something hard, I think, maybe to comprehend. This is all we know. This is what we see. But during this block of time, they weren't looking forward to what was going on in our lives today. They were dealing with the here and now, what was going on with the plagues. They were trapped in Egypt. All that was going on, that's what was on their mind. And now, the Lord is telling them to put blood across the door so their firstborn will not be killed. You see that? That order, that ordinance was not just to the Egyptians. It was to everybody. It was all inclusive. That means if anybody in the land of Israel or the Israelites, had they not obeyed that, their firstborn would have died. It included them also. But again, we see here verse number 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast." Imagine what that would be like on the news the very next morning. I put it in our day and time, and what that would be like and what the news would be like. We don't know what happened. But all these babies and all these animals, they're dead. We're trying to figure out what's happening. Moses knew. It was forecast to Pharaoh. He knew what was going to happen, or what was told was going to happen. That's why he knew it was from God, and not just a happenstance that they're going to try to explain away, because God foretold what was going to happen. "For I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I'll execute the judgment. I am the Lord." If you remember, it says all the gods. You remember those, the plagues that came through were representative of their false gods, and how God had, our God has power over all them. It was a lesson. It was a showing of his power to the land of Egypt. "I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are." See, it's a token. It's to show you that it's representative of something. It's a foreshadowing. The blood has always had to be applied. You think about the cross. When Jesus died on the cross for our sin, it was his blood that was needed. You see, this night here, it was going to be required, the firstborn of everybody that did not have the blood applied. But you know, it was Jesus, it was God's firstborn, his only born, that died for our sin. Think about that, Brother Raymond. You ever think about it that way? His firstborn. He's the first fruits. You think about how sorrowful, how sad those people were that lost their firstborn that night. God, in his omniscient knowledge, knowing that he was going to give his firstborn for our sin, to be our Passover, to be our lamb, the lamb. "Behold the lamb that taketh away the sins of the world." That's what John said when he was forecasting him, his forerunner. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Boy, I tell you, you think about when Jesus comes back and the blood is seen upon us, and he passes over us, takes us straight to heaven with him. See, that plague that's upon this earth is not upon his children. We get to leave that. We get to leave that behind. All the sorrows, all the pains, all the things that we do not understand in this life, we get to leave that behind. Praise God for that. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of things I don't understand, and one day we'll get to leave that. Verse number 14, it says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall be shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day. Ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. To manner of work ye shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe it, the feast of unleavened bread," another ordinance that was given under the law during that time. These things were done as a memorial so people could look back and remember and reflect on it. This is why this happened. This is why this took place. This is the Lord redeeming us, saving us, giving us a way of salvation away from the bondage that they were in. "And ye shall observe this, the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses." Again, we understand leaven is a typical typology of sin. It's not to be in the house. They're supposed to separate themselves from sin. Live holy, be ye holy, for I am holy. God is talking about being a consecrated, set apart people. Again, 7 days shall it be, there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened, in all your habitation shall ye eat unleavened bread. You see verses 21 through 29. I just want to finish reading this out here. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, he's explaining exactly how they were supposed to do this, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is on the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. They're supposed to stay inside where it's safe, back behind the blood. That's where we're safe, covered by the blood, hidden by the blood. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you shall come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children say unto you, what mean ye by this service? How important it is, just keeping it simple. Why do we do this? Why are we doing these things that we do? Why are we doing this? For our young people to see this, this is a type of investment. Just like Brother Isaiah was talking about, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Now we see these last verses here, verses 30 through 36, and I'll be closing with this. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. Can you imagine what that would be? What that would be like? It is so sad to have the loss of one child. One. But you imagine, you think about every house or however many houses that was in that area, in that vicinity. You imagine as they woke up and as they went to check on their child, all those children, where the blood is not applied. I think that was a cry that would never be heard again. I mean, honestly. You'll see what it says here. Matter of fact, to that effect. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not an house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Look what it took for his people to go, for God's people to go and be able to serve him. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent on the people. You know, they were ready. They knew that the Israelites' God had done this. They knew exactly where it came from. It was prescribed beforehand. It was outlined what was going to happen. A mockery was made because they didn't follow it and they didn't do it. And then they realized that God was serious and God meant what he said. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. It's over for us. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, for their kneading throughs, being bound in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels and silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And they lent unto them such things as were required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. They took everything they needed. It got to a point that they realized it was basically out of Pharaoh's hand at that time. Pharaoh was the leader. He could order his nation to do things. And of course they had that fear or reverence or whatever you'd like to word that they had for Pharaoh. But at this time, God overshadowed him. They were afraid of God and what God was going to do. You know, do we think our nation today is afraid of God and what God will do? That's the place that Egypt found itself in. They got to that place. That cry was heard, and they knew that God meant business. He said, now it's time to go. What do you need? If I have something you need that'll help you, take it. Just leave. We're dead. Take whatever you need. Take whatever you want. Just leave. The nation was ready and willing to let them go. You imagine, though, I'm going to close with this. I keep thinking about it, how much people, how much it's just kind of a joke anymore about thinking about God, the things of God and His return, Him coming back. And boy, I tell you, the cry that was heard here on that night, that was something real to them. And I'll just say this, you imagine what it will be one day, the cry that is heard when the Lord comes to take His children home. There'll be a lot of people that may not understand what's going on and try to take all that in. But you know, the saddest place, the saddest thing I can think of is if the Lord was to return, you probably heard it said this way, but if the Lord was to return on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night, or when people are at church, you know, you think about that, people that's heard the gospel and would know what's going on. And say, I know what this is. I know what this means. I tell you, if you're not ready, I pray that you will be. I thank God for His mercy. I thank Him for His grace. And I thank Him for His word, that we can see it, we can study it, we can meditate on it. But most importantly, we need to act on it and do what it's telling us to do. And I'll quit with that there tonight. I'll stop there. I appreciate your good attention. And again, just so thankful to be back. And I did want to say this too. I wanted to thank everyone, the church, for our Christmas gifts and everything. Got